Welcome to We're Only Human, a podcast focused on blending research and practical advice to help today's HR, talent, and learning leaders improve business outcomes. Let's welcome your host, Ben Eubanks.
Hey, everybody. This is Ben Eubanks, host of We're Only Human. Welcome to the show today. I'm really excited to have you. Today's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to do a solo episode like I occasionally do because there's a topic that I really want to talk about, want to dive deep into it, share some different resources and viewpoints, perspectives from different people. So in that sense, I'll have some different viewpoints here, but it's going to be me talking today. Hopefully you enjoy that. So before I get in the show, a couple of quick announcements. Number one, if you've got an Alexa, you can actually listen to HR Happy Hour on your Alexa. You just turn on the HR Happy Hour Alexa skill, and you can get the flash briefings in the morning. There are a couple episodes a week coming out now. Those episodes, I'm now recording some of those. Steve Bowes, Trish McFarland, the other hosts on the HR Happy Hour podcast network are also recording those. So if you want to check those out, absolutely would love for you to do so. Three of the ones that I've recently recorded, and some of them are coming up soon in the feed, episodes about Google's AI demo, whether that was faked and how employers can kind of learn a lesson from that experience. Another episode, I looked at the hidden underbelly of unlimited paid leave plans and what you need to know. And then lastly, the last episode I recorded was about wellness and some new research that shows that a single targeted intervention with your employees around wellness could change some outcomes for them, but not others. And so you need to check in and see which outcomes are changing, which ones are not in terms of wellness there. Just some fun format. The episodes are really short, 5 minutes or less. So if you have the, again, Alexa, flash briefings, you get that quick little boost in your day, get a little insight, get a little piece of research or something else, an inspiration, get you ready to go for the day. And in honor of the SHRM conference next week, 15,000 plus HR professionals, hundreds of vendors will all descend on Chicago for the SHRM 18 conference. I'm excited about that. I go almost every year. Last year was the first one I missed in, 10 years, it seems like. So in honor of the conference next week, I wanted to record an episode that would be super practical and helpful for those leaders that are really working hard to improve their businesses, whether that firm is 10 people or 10,000. For all the talk about the Fortune 500 or these massive global employers, small is actually big. There are actually about 6 million businesses in the U.S., and about 90% of those have less than 20 employees. So companies with less than 500 employees make up about half of the employment in the U.S. So about half of us work for employers that have less than 500 employees. So that's a really big number when you think about that. So there's nothing wrong with large employers. Again, I put out a lot of research, podcast interviews, executive interviews, blog resources, things like that to support those people. But there are so many small employers as well. And so today I'm going to talk about running a small HR team, running a small HR department, and really look at that pretty significantly and what we can do there. So I spent a good portion of my time as an HR practitioner as a solo HR department of one, and I loved it. Well, some days I loved it. See, it's fun. You get to have a hand in everything. You get to touch on all these things that you are interested in, some things that you're not interested in too, because you're a team of one and you can't do it all. So I want to talk about some lessons today. Again, I kind of got some feedback from a couple of friends and resources and people that I respect about this. And also I'll share some of my own insights and things towards the end. But I'm going to dive in and tell you some lessons from, a handful of people that I think will help you if you're running one of those smaller HR teams, will help you to really stay on top of what you're working on, help you to think about your credibility in a new way, and so on. First up, friend Franny Oxford, she said, you don't have to be the expert, but you need to know some experts, right? This applies either to consultants or to subject matter experts that are also practitioners in the field. But don't think that you have to know everything about everything in order to be successful as a small HR team. You really need to have a good network of people that you can call on that are paid resources. You need to have your, you know, the attorney for when you get really deep in something that's legal oriented. You might need to have a good, you know, consultant that helps with salary issues or compensation, you know, structure building, things like that, whatever it happens to be, but have some people that are consultants around specific areas. But also, don't think you have to pay for everything. Have some good subject matter experts that you can call on. And I'll talk in a minute about how to connect with some of those people, but really build out that personal network so that if you have an issue about a certain topic, you can pick up the phone. Wow, there's a phone? Really? Yes. Yes, you can pick up the phone and you can call that person if they're in town, if they're out of town, wherever they might be, and get some insight from them on how to solve your issue. So thanks to Franny for that one. Dave Ryan said, take care of yourself. Now, one angle of that is self-care, right? Make sure that you're not burning yourself out. Make sure you're not killing yourself trying to get things done, because ultimately that's going to limit you in the long run. So don't do that. Make sure you're taking care of yourself physically and emotionally and all those things. But also, he said, make sure you're always developing your skills. Make sure you're improving yourself and growing your knowledge. Make sure you're always focusing on those things as well. And there's a quote that I love. It says, as your area of knowledge increases, so does the perimeter of ignorance. So think about, if you think about geometry, as area gets bigger, the outside edge, the perimeter, gets bigger as well. And the more we know about, the bigger our perimeter of ignorance, the more things we realize we don't know so much about. Like, I know about compensation, but I don't know some really unique and special ways to do executive comp, for example. Like, someone that focuses on that knows that really well. And if I got into that area, I would find someone that I could pull in and help me with that. Or I would find a resource to help train and teach and learn about those things so I could tackle that myself. But really, it's about focusing on developing and growing yourself all the time. Don't ever let yourself get stale. Don't ever let yourself feel like, okay, I think I'm good enough now. I'll just focus on executing on all the things I have to execute on. Because when you stop growing, you start falling apart. You start failing. Probably a nicer way to say that. But the moment you say, I'm good enough in terms of my learning, is the moment where you start going backwards. Because things are always changing. And if you don't stay on top of that, you're going to lose track. You're going to fall behind. And you don't want to be one of those people that looks up and says, oh man, the industry passing by, or there's these new things I could have taken advantage of, these new resources and things. Again, I'll point some of those out in a minute, that I could have taken advantage of and I didn't, because I didn't know they were there, because I had my head down instead of, you know, coming back up for air every once in a while and checking and making sure that I was aware of everything. Thank you to Dave for that. Jennifer Goodall, a good friend of mine and actually a local board member with me for the North Alabama Sherm chapter, she said, network with people and vendors at conferences. Don't just attend sessions, which are good. Again, I just said learn, so you need to learn. But don't just attend the sessions, because if you skip out on networking with people, if every time there's a networking break, you're on your phone, checking email, calling back to work, and you're not talking to people, you know, at the lunch table, whatever else, you're missing a chance to really learn and grow from other people. I am super duper introverted when it comes to that kind of thing, or shy, or whatever you want to call it. I am not the first person to step out there and say, you know, meet someone new and chat with someone, whatever else. And yet every time I do, I come away with feeling like that was worthwhile. That was a good experience. That was, you know, and the times that the person is not responsive, not receptive, that's okay. It doesn't hurt me at all to at least give it a try. And again, more often than not, it pays off. I build a new connection. I learned something new. I met someone last week at a conference in Miami. I sat down at the end of a table. There was one person beside me, and I wasn't sure if she was going to chat or not. She looked kind of, you know, again, like, who's this guy that just sat by me? And so I start chatting with her about the conference and what she's enjoyed so far. And come to find out, we both knew some of the same people. She actually was relatively close to where I live. And so it just kind of blew me away. Of all the people I could have sat by, we had those connections and things. And once she found those things out, she realized I wasn't just there to, you know, pick on her or sell her or whatever else. She really opened up. We had some fun conversations. So be networking, meeting people. The other side of that is the vendors. Be talking with the vendors, connect with them. You don't have to go up there. I mean, obviously they want you to buy something, but go up there and just have conversations about what they do, how they're different from everybody else. That's my favorite question to ask. How are you different from that other background check provider over there? And don't just tell me you're cheaper, because there are times when that works, but there are plenty of times where I'd rather have someone that serves me, or someone that has a new, you know, tool or technique or something else, or a faster delivery. Like, be really clear about that stuff, whether you're buying or not, whether you're open to buying or not, but be really, don't be afraid to approach a vendor and just chat with them, understand what they're doing, because they have nothing, they can't hurt you. They can't harm you. And in some cases, you'll find out that thing that, hey, next year when you get budget, you can go back and make that purchase, or you can call them back and say, hey, do you still offer that? So you never know when those things are going to come in handy. Always be having those kind of conversations to kind of keep your head on that. I know it's one more thing to kind of keep on your plate, but it's really great to be doing a regular demo with different vendors in the space. You understand what the technology is out there and everything else. Again, one day you might have the budget to buy that performance management system, so you no longer have to do the paper stuff. Or maybe you get budget to buy that applicant tracking system so that you no longer have to do all those things manually or by hand, or someone coding your website, all that fun stuff. So just stay on top of that. Sabrina Baker, she said, make sure you train and empower your leaders to handle some of their own issues. And I'll say amen to that, sister. You know, there are some leaders that are more inclined to do that, or more they have a disposition, I guess, that helps them focus on actually solving some of those problems. Others are not suited for that as well. And so we have to be careful about what we just give them to handle. They probably need some more coaching, some more guidance, things like that, especially if they're new leaders. But if you have some leaders that are really good at mentoring people, having good, transparent conversations, if they're super authentic with their team and they're open and honest with them, those are the ones that you should target first. And make sure you're coaching them and guiding them on the kind of things that they should handle, and just handle it at their level versus bring it to you. If you can teach them that balance between what they need to take care of and what they need to bring to you, then you can dramatically change your workload. And that's one of the key things, one of those issues that I had to really focus on when I got started, was I wanted my hands in everything. I wanted to help everybody. I wanted to just be high touch. And that's still the philosophy that I have around how HR should be. It's high touch as we could possibly be. But at the same time, comes a point where you're always, you know, jumping into these different situations, and you can never actually do the work that you're being paid to do. You can never actually, you know, improve things. You can never actually do things around metrics and strategy, because you're always doing and churning instead of having them handle some of those things. So try to find that right balance where you're still engaged, you're still participating, you're still coaching either on the employee or on the leader level, but also you give them that authority, that autonomy to do some of those things at their team level that can take some of that workload off of you. Linda Murphy said, you need to join a dedicated group of smart HR people that you know and see on a regular basis. And I'll second that. You know, I see this at church with things like small groups. You know, instead of having 50 surface level relationships, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. How are your kids? And moving on, you build these really deep relationships with five or six different people, five or six different families in that case, but for work, five or six different people, you can build really deep relationships with some HR people that you know and trust. And it's based on mutual trust, not just this quick passing relationship, but you've built this over time. You understand who their boss is. You understand what sort of things worry them, the things they're good at, the things you're not so good at. You understand those about some of your peers, and you get to the point where you can say, hey, I know that you guys have some issues with recruiting. I found this really great resource. I want to share that with you. And then when it comes time and you're having trouble trying to develop this learning plan, you can reach out to them and say, hey, I know learning is your strength. Do you have any resources or ideas that I could use? And they might be willing to share a template, a tool, a resource, something else they've run across. So build those relationships and really connect deeply with those people, because that will change everything for you. You'll be in it. You'll be a department of one or a small HR team, but you won't be in it alone. And that's the greatest thing, the great place to be. One question that I got recently that kind of made me start thinking about this, someone emailed me and said, hey, how do I know if one HR person is no longer effective? You know, how do I know we need to have a bigger team? One of the things that you should do if you're in that situation, if you're trying to figure out, is it time to hire somebody else, whether it's an admin or another, you know, HR specialist or an HR assistant to try to help you out, make a list of everything that you do and the time that it takes. You know, for 1 week, do basically a time log and check off all these things you're doing over the course of a week in 30-hour blocks. Then you share that with your boss, you have a conversation, and you explain kind of the impact and what it's costing you to do what you do with regard to this time and some missed opportunities and things like that. Hey, I'm doing X, Y, and Z, but that means I'm missing out on some of this other stuff that I need to be working on. And so it really helps to have that conversation at a level that by doing this, I'm missing out on that. And lots of leaders don't have that kind of understanding of your work to that level of granular detail. And by explaining it that way, hey, it's costing us money for me to do this because I'm not able to focus on this other stuff that's really important. The more you can make those kind of cases, the more likely you'll get some help. And you know what? If you're looking for help and you're kind of on the cusp right now, don't ask for a full-time person. Ask for someone part-time. Ask for someone for a few hours a week. You can usually find someone that is qualified to be an admin and support you and help with some of those basic things for a couple hours a week and let them grow into that role over time. It's a really great exercise for you to start honing in on those things you're good at and handing off some of that administrative stuff. You can really be more strategic that way. It's a good exercise just overall in general. One thing though to note, it's sometimes that's not going to happen, right? We all live in a real world, reality, budgets, everything else. Sometimes it's not going to happen. You're not going to get that person. And if it isn't, and you can't, try to focus your work on the business priorities. Look at the high visibility projects. Focus on the other nice to have stuff later on. You know, it's hard to face it, but again, it's reality. Sometimes you can't do everything. One of my favorite bosses ever said, we can only do what we can do. And goodness, we did a lot. We worked hard. We put the pedal to the metal. We always were cranking and trying to get things done. But occasionally I would, you know, comment to her like, oh, you know, we didn't get this thing done when we wanted to, or we missed this other thing, or we put this off. We kept putting on the back burner for months at a time or quarters, you know, kept going and just never got around to that thing. And she said, you know, we can only do what we can do. We're doing as much as we can. We're focusing on the right things, I think. And so, you know, until the business tells us different or until the business invests in us in a different way, we can't do anything more than what we're doing right now. So remember that one as well. It doesn't say anything about you as an HR leader if you're working at your capacity and you can't complete everything. Don't feel like you're failing, because it's just, again, a reality of our time and our availability and our capabilities. It's just how it is. We can't all do everything. So those are just some ideas and things that came from everybody else. Let me share a couple more with you. First of all, I agree with those wholeheartedly. But I would also say that you need to really learn and know the business. Your HR knowledge is transferable. You know, how FMLA works at one company is the same as it works at another company. How ADA, you know, manages how you run some things at your company is going to manage that at another company the same way. But the way the business works is different. And the way that you can support and really strategically value or strategically benefit the business with your expertise and things is going to change from company to company. So you need to really understand. If you leave, you know, a restaurant environment and you go to manufacturing, some things will be the same. You're going to have issues with shift workers, scheduling people, trying to keep productivity up and people, you know, attendance and all those things. Those kind of things will be similar, but you're going to have a lot more things around safety and other stuff that you didn't have to deal with in the other environment. So really, really focus on understanding the business, how it operates, the things that the leadership values. If I asked you right now, what is your boss or even your CEO, if you're in a really small company, what sort of things keep them up at night? What worries them? What's important to them? If you can't answer those questions, you need to pause this and go ask them right now. Find that out. Get the answers to those questions, because those sort of things should drive the projects, the focus, everything else that you do as an HR leader. Those things should drive that. So don't miss out on understanding what those are. The next point I want to make is really, really similar to that. Figure out from your boss what measures your success. Is there a metric? Is there an outcome? What is that thing that they say, our HR team is successful, you as an HR practitioner are successful if this happens, or if this metric looks like this? Whatever that is, make sure you're hitting that. Hit that primarily. Okay. And again, I've had different leaders that said different things. One of my bosses said, I want our people to be really happy here and I want to make sure they stay. So that was part of the reason that from the very beginning I had this really focused point on being high touch. I wanted to be really high touch because that was what fed down from my leadership about what was important. One other thing that's really important is to find resources. Again, you're not in this yourself, even though it feels like it sometimes. Go to sites like SHRM, ATD, even HR Open Source is kind of a newer one. There's a lot more networking there. They're building out the resources that are free. But right now, the networking, the Facebook group for HR Open Source is really great. You can get some good questions answered, hear from other people, whether it's around, hey, I'm thinking about this technology. Have you used it? All the way over to, I'm trying to build this policy. Does someone have a sample? You get really good insights there. One of the other things that I think is undervalued is local HR groups. You know, our local SHRM chapter here in Huntsville, I'm the president this year. We have 400 members and we have hundreds of non-members in the local area. Every single one of those people is a resource, potentially. If you connect with them, if you learn from them, if you make the time and take the effort to do that, then you can benefit from the resources and the information, everything else that they have. You never know. I mean, let's say you've built this really cool guide for onboarding your employees. Go to your local HR meeting or email some of those people in your little small group I talked about a minute ago. Say, hey, here's this thing. I'm freely and openly giving this away to anybody because there will come a time when you might need something from them and you can ask for it and they're willing to share. She's like, oh yeah, you gave me that really cool onboarding guide. You helped us solve our problem, made it faster, more comprehensive, those things. So be willing to share and trade resources with each other so you don't have to try to recreate the wheel every time you need something. I'm guilty of that. I always think, oh, I can create something just as good or better as what's out there. And pretty quickly you realize maybe you can, but it's going to take you so long to do that. Instead, you should grab something that's already there if you can and customize it, tweak it to fit your culture, your business, those kind of things that really are different. Get something off the shelf and then customize it, tweak it to the ability that you need to. A couple other ideas really quick. Number one, think about getting certified. People are all over the map on this. Some people are super for certification, others are not. I'm a big believer in proving your value, okay? And there's research out there that shows that if you get certified, you earn more money, which is a big benefit. But there are also research. I believe that if you get that certification, it's easier for you to get a job or it's easier for you to get promoted, right? Even if you stay in this role and you go up to the next level, you know, from an HR generalist to an HR manager, and you're still at the same company, you still might have the ability or the opportunity to get promoted, to get more money, everything else. And I'm thinking about you here, trying to support you. So think about getting certified. I have tons and tons of resources over on upstarthr.com. If you want to check those out, some of those things are free, some of those things are paid, but it's really a great set of resources. And I'm right now in the middle of recreating those things, the biggest revamp of the certification materials in 9 years. So I'm working overtime trying to get those things done by the end of the summer because there'll be some changes in the exams. You have questions about that, feel free to email me, reach out, happy to help you. But think about getting certified because there's a lot of value there. You get this base level of knowledge. If you don't already have it, you'll accumulate it through your studies. And then you can think about, you'll run into a situation where it's like, oh yeah, I remember reading about that. This is how that practically applies in the workplace. And you'll have some background, some knowledge, some awareness on how to focus on that or how to fix it. Or at least you'll have this general idea. So if you reach out to a consultant, you'll know when they're telling you the truth or when they might be kind of, you know, skewing things a little bit because you'll have some level of knowledge. So that really is important for you to help you kind of establish that baseline, that foundation. One other thing that worked for me, it's funny because I talk about this and I've been doing it so long that it's almost old news to me, is using social media. I know lots of people use social tools. You might not. I mentioned a Facebook group a minute ago. I really love Facebook groups. LinkedIn groups used to be really great, and then not so much. Lots of spam there, and not very many good conversations that I find. So I just don't do LinkedIn groups very much anymore. I do Twitter, you know, follow a couple of the great Twitter hashtags, like NextChat, hashtag NextChat. Next week, follow, you know, hashtag SHRM18. Follow things like, goodness, HR Evolution will be one coming up soon when we have get closer to the conference. We'll start sharing things on that tag. Look for hashtags, though, that are based on HR things and then start connecting and following those people. And you can build that network of people and you can say, hey, you know what? I ran into this issue and I'm looking for some assistance. And you can touch base with some of those people, either there or individually, privately, if you find out what their expertise is. And you can reach out to them. For example, there's someone that I recently ran across that does HR for a university. And so if I was working for a college or I got a new job, I'd reach right out to Wendy and say, hey, Wendy, I need some insight, some expertise, some help. How do you guys handle this? Or if I was working for, you know, if I joined a new pizza place, I'd reach out to Jasmine Wilkes, another person on board here locally, but also on Twitter at, I think, HR Jazzy is her handle. But reach out to Jasmine for insight and, hey, what do you guys do? And how do you handle this? You know, what sort of problems do you have? I would want to understand those things. And I have built that network myself, and I would encourage you to do that. It's never too late. It might be easier today because there's so many good conversations, so many good people already out there. You can just dive in and start connecting. People are really open, happy to have you there. So this has been a lot of fun for me, a long time for me to talk. So if hopefully you enjoyed this, got some good ideas and insights out of this conversation from me or from some of the others that shared. Resources. I will make sure and link in the show notes. I wrote an alt. It sounds high and mighty and highfalutin, but a couple years ago, I wrote The Ultimate Guide to Starting a New HR Department. And it really covered dozens of interviews, resources, and other pieces of information that would be really helpful for you. If you're running a small HR department, it was about starting it, but it's really about, you know, getting that baseline, that foundation, how to build that. And there would be some really good insights there. I'll make sure that link is in the show notes so you can find that. Thank you for joining me today. I really hope you enjoyed the solo episode. If you're in Chicago next week for sure, be sure to reach out to connect. This is something clearly that I'm passionate about. I've done this. I've been there. If you're in this boat right now, especially if you're feeling overwhelmed, don't worry. It's not insurmountable. You have people around you that care about you, people around you that love you, whether it's at work or out of work. You can do this. If you ever have questions, need help, feel free to reach out. I'm always glad to chat. This has been Ben Eubanks, host of We Were Only Human, and I'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to We're Only Human. Please take a moment to share this episode with another HR leader who might see it as a valuable resource in their daily work. For more information about the podcast and to see all our show archives, please visit upstarthr.com.